Last week in the book of James, we saw how important it was to have patience, and that patience comes often through trials, that trials produce patience. And it actually told us to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That doesn't seem to make sense, to be full of joy when you have trials. But the Bible says for us to allow our faith to be tested, and it produces patience, and patience will have its perfect work, that you'll be complete and entire and lacking nothing. The way of patience seems almost impossible. That's why the next verse in James chapter 1 verse 5 tells us that we need the very wisdom of God in order to have patience. And so the question was asked, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. There's a reason for that. That he gives this, combines wisdom with trials and with patience. Because most of us don't count it joy when we go through trials. Most of us complain. But it's because we often don't see the big picture. We do not have the heavenly wisdom to be able to understand why things are happening, why we are going through a trial, why it is that we need a patience that is beyond ourselves. And so he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And then he says, let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Do not let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So here we have wisdom, James encouraging us, if you lack wisdom. Why does he come up with this just after he talks about patience and troubles? It is because when he says to count it all joy when you fall into many trials and knowing that it produces patience, it's not worldly wisdom. There is a worldly wisdom that looks at things from a whole different perspective than heavenly wisdom. The Bible teaches us that when we become a Christian, we not only become a new person in terms of our sins being forgiven, but we become a new person in our way of thinking, in our way of looking at the world, in our way of looking at people, in a way of looking at circumstances. We begin to have a wisdom that comes from God so that we look at everything from God's perspective and not just from a worldly wisdom perspective. When Eve was in the garden and was tempted by the devil, one of the things that the devil told her, that if she partook of this fruit, that it would make her wise. But it was not a godly wisdom. It was a worldly wisdom. It was not a wisdom that would produce good things in her life, but produce disaster. And so we are accustomed to, and we have lived in a world where worldly wisdom is prevalent, where it's predominant in the function of the world, in the way of our thinking, in our relationships with people. And when we become a believer in Jesus Christ, God wants to impart to us heavenly wisdom, wisdom from above. And so that wisdom that comes from above is not something that we can acquire on our own. We need it from God. And that's why James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, I don't know about you, but I can say that I lack wisdom. I think that this is something that every one of us can say, Lord, I need heavenly wisdom. And that request that we are encouraged to do here is a request where we are saying to God, I can't think things through on my own. I need heavenly wisdom. I need you, Lord, to work in this situation. And so I can trust God, and we can trust God that He has a better wisdom than the world. He has a better perspective on things. And we can actually look to God and find Him giving to us what we need so that we can see things right. How many decisions have you made in your life that have gone completely off the rails, that have been wrong decisions? How often we have made decisions based on worldly wisdom, and those decisions have caused disasters in each of our lives over and over and over again. And all the while, God's saying, you can get wisdom from me. You can look at things from a different perspective. That's why I could count it all joy when I fall into various trials. If I have heavenly wisdom, I can see that God is in control. I can see that God knows what he's doing. We saw last week that patience and faith were tied together. And now we see even this week that wisdom and faith are tied together in such a way that it says in James 1:6, it says, but let him ask in faith. When it comes to wisdom, I need to ask in faith. What does it mean to ask in faith? We can just think that it means if I just believe it strong enough, I'll get it. And that's true in one sense, where there needs to be a firm belief that God is able. That is that place where I'm saying, Lord, I'm trusting in you. But I believe it also means let us ask in dependence. Because I can have my own agenda, I can be going my own way, I can be thinking that I'm king of my own castle or queen of my own realm, and I'm going to do things my way, but I'm going to ask God for wisdom, but I'm wanting a wisdom that fits my pattern, that fits what I want, and that is not asking in faith. Asking in faith is saying, God, your will be done. Lord, you take over my life. You give me a right perspective. Lord, I'm willing to throw out what I think, my plans, my ways, and I'm willing to be dependent upon you. Because faith means dependence. So when he says, ask, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. It isn't a flippant, okay, God, I need your wisdom. It is a place where I'm saying, okay, God, I need your wisdom, but I need it applied. You see, wisdom is knowledge applied. Knowledge on itself, the Bible says, can puff up. But wisdom is taking knowledge from God and actually applying it to our lives. That means that it becomes a practical thing. It means it becomes lived out in our experience. So if I'm asking God for wisdom, and sometimes we can say that, Lord, I'm asking you what to do, but I'm not really willing to listen to what you want, and I'm really willing to apply it into my heart, you're not going to get anything from God in that sense. Because we are not actually looking for true wisdom from God. We are not actually saying, God, I want the wisdom that will be applied to my life, and I'm willing for it to be applied in any way that you want it. So let him ask in faith. If you need wisdom today, ask God for wisdom, but ask it in a place of humility. The next passage we will look at will be to deal with humility and faith. We see already we have the way of patience in faith. We have the way of wisdom in faith, and we will see the way of humility in faith. And they're all integrally tied together. So here, ask in faith, and then it encourages us not to doubt. And that is the place where we say, okay, God, I believe that you will give wisdom. I believe that you will, Lord, meet this need. I believe you will show me how to live and what to do. Because if I'm living in unbelief with God, then I'm not trusting God. Then I'm not saying that he is Lord, and I'm not saying he's Lord enough to look after my life and the circumstances that are in it. Because it says, he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he shall receive anything from the Lord. If I'm living in a place where I don't even believe that God can do anything for me, that I know that he's there and I know that he's real and all that, but for me personally, he's not that integrally interested and that caring for my heart and my life, then I'm going to miss this place of actually trusting God for wisdom. Trusting God for wisdom means I'm going to be still and know that he is God. Trusting God for wisdom is that I am going to say, Lord, I am committing myself into your tender care. And we can come with our unbelief. We can come with our doubts, but we lay them at his feet. And that is why it says this. This doesn't mean that we never have doubt, but it means in the process of asking, Lord, I am abandoning myself to you. I am trusting you to give me what I need for my heart, for my mind, and for my life. Being double-minded, it's the word of God says in James 1:8, we are unstable in all of our ways. We're like the wind tossed to and fro, as it says here, a wave of the sea driven by the wind, pardon me. And then so we have this encouragement to come to God for his wisdom. We have this encouragement to understand that, Lord, it means I must surrender. I must give my life over to you. We are often coming with a compartmental view that we can come and ask God for things that we want in small little circumstances in our life, but we still want to run our lives. We still want to be in control. We still want to be the ones who dictate what's going to happen, instead of saying, God, I need a wisdom that covers all my life. I need to be saying to you, Lord, I surrender all to you. You have your way in me. Give me the faith to trust you, Lord. And even there, we can say to God, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I'm willing for you to be my wisdom. The beauty of that is when we look in the Word of God in other passages, we find in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it speaks here about real wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1:20, it says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? If I cling to the wisdom of this world, then I'm not willing to abandon myself to the wisdom of God. If I think that the world's way of looking at things is better, then that's the way I will live. And yet the scriptures tell us here that the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. He sees the real lie of it. He sees that thinking the way the world thinks will bring nothing but trouble. Because in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom, that is, the wisdom that comes from man in 1 Corinthians 1:21, they did not know God, and it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And so it tells us here that man's wisdom brings them to the place where they refuse to know God. That is the goal of Satan. That is the goal of the world system, to bring you to the place where there is no God, where you don't need him, where your perspective on the world and on the way of the world, on people, everything is perverted by a worldly wisdom. A worldly wisdom that was acquired by Eve when she took of the fruit in the garden. And that worldly wisdom must be abandoned. We cannot have both. We cannot live in the wisdom of the world and know the wisdom of God. We cannot look at people in a proper way. Jealousy, envy, hatred, rage, anger, all these things come from the worldly wisdom. It comes from often our reaction to the way things are happening around us, our frustration with the circumstances of life, rather than understanding my life is in the hands of Almighty God. I must see this event. I must see this circumstance. I must see this person with godly wisdom. And when I do, it changes all of my perspective on life. It changes how I view other people. It changes how I make decisions. It changes how I react to other people. Because it is a godly wisdom then that is in control. And that is why we look at the life of Jesus Christ, whom the Bible says he grew in wisdom. And we see how he reacted. We see how he lived. And the Bible tells us we are to live as he lived. I can't do that. That's not possible if I'm determined to live in worldly wisdom. It is only possible if I know the wisdom that comes from Almighty God. And so we discover that the wisdom of God is far greater. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says, those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God, and he is the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Men think God's wisdom is foolish. And that's often the case. How foolish it seems to an unbeliever that a person would spend hours praying, that a person would be committed to being in church on a regular basis and worshiping a God whom they cannot see. It looks like absolute, utter foolishness. It's like a gentleman told me a couple of years ago, he was wondering what I was doing with my life. And I said, I'm planting churches and I'm sharing the gospel with people. And he said to me, that is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. Why would you bother? Churches are closing everywhere. This whole idea of church and God and religion is gone and dead anyway. Why would you be bothering wasting your life in such a thing? And I would say he has an earthly wisdom. He has no concept of heavenly wisdom and seeing things as they actually are. Remember, the work of the devil is to lie. It's to deceive. It's to keep us in the dark as to the wisdom of Almighty God and offer us a wisdom that truly is foolishness. What man thinks is weak, God says, is strong. Now, the key to all of this is not just a knowledge that I need to be surrendered, nor is it just a knowledge that I need wisdom. It is an understanding that God gives wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says this: "For those who believe in Jesus Christ, but of him you are in Christ Jesus." This passage is telling us that we have become in Christ what he is. He became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And so the first thing that it says that he has become for us is wisdom from God. God has given us Christ to be our wisdom. So your wisdom is not something that you just acquire by your effort, but it comes by your place of being by faith, surrendering to Jesus Christ, because he is my wisdom. He is my wisdom so much so that it actually tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this. It's an incredible passage that actually tells us that we have the very mind of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "Who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him?" But we have the mind of Christ. God gives us his mind on the matter. He gives us his thoughts. He gives us his ways on things. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:3, "I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom." There's that human wisdom again. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so it's not man's doing, it's God's doing. "But we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." This wisdom God has given to us. We are not left without. We have understanding now. We understand why the world is the way it is. We understand why the human race does what it does. We understand why we do what we do. We understand why we sin. We understand why the struggle is there. We understand the powers of darkness that are at work. All of this is God's wisdom being revealed to us. We are not left without understanding and knowledge. He has given it to us so that we might live and we might live fully. And so it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "As is written, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." The wisdom of the world blocks us from understanding any of these things. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. It has not even entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. That sounds like it's impossible to know any of these things. But the next verse says, "But God has revealed him to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." So though the worldly man can't understand any of these things, God has revealed these things to us through his Spirit. We are in the wisdom of God. We have been given the wisdom of God. We have been given so much so that now we understand. "For what man knows the things of God, a man, except the spirit of man, which is in him? Man understands man because man is man. But so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Maybe you need a complete readjustment of your mindset, of your way of thinking. Because Christianity is the wisdom of God imparted to us. But many of us have been captured by the world. And many parts of our lives are still governed by worldly wisdom and not the wisdom that comes from God. What do we do about it? Let him ask of God. That's what we saw in our passage. Ask God for wisdom. He will give it liberally, and he will not rebuke us for it. He will pour out his wisdom so that we can become spiritual. The natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, does not understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him, and they can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. But the one who is spiritual judges all things. And that is why we can say we have the mind of Christ. That is why we can know this, why we can be blessed by it, why we can experience God's wisdom in our hearts and souls and be able to know that God will give a heavenly perspective on everything. Let me challenge you this week. Are you living in worldly wisdom? Are your decisions being made based on those things? Or are you truly discovering and living and moving forward, making your decisions, having your perspective found in the wisdom that comes from Almighty God? The beauty of this is, friends, he says, he gives to all liberally, without reproach, without rebuking you, and it will be given to you. Oh, so the door is wide open. The source is there. It's our hearts. Are we willing to come? Are we willing to surrender? Are we willing to come by faith and say, Lord, oh, how I need your wisdom. Not just for this one little decision here and there, but I need godly wisdom for every part of my experience, every part of my life, and I need it now. Let me encourage you, come, ask God. Ask him, trusting, believing, and he will pour out his wisdom into your soul. It will affect every part of your life. It will bring transformation, because this is what God has given to us, the very mind of Christ, the way of thinking of Christ, so that we look on the world in a completely different way. May God bless you, and may you experience his wisdom in a far deeper way than you already have. In Jesus' name, amen.